Black people, the indigenous, and the LGBT community and women have conquered so far. He represents a threat to democracy in our country, a democracy that we are still building.
Joining us in Rio de Janeiro is Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Glenn Greenwald, who co-founded The Intercept. Glenn, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you talk about the significance of what is happening right now in Brazil, and particularly on Sunday, the election?
To begin with, the significance is that Brazil is a country of 210 million people, so it's the fifth most populous country in the world, right behind the United States, the second largest in the hemisphere and the most influential in all of Latin America. It's also the seventh largest economy in the world with major oil reserves. And what the Western media has often been doing and talking about Bolsonaro is calling him Brazil's Trump, which drastically and radically understates the case. He's much closer to, say, Duterte in the Philippines or even General Sisi in Egypt, both in terms of what he intends to do and wants to do and what he's able to do, given the fragility of Brazil, which is an extremely young democracy that exited a military dictatorship only 33 years ago and therefore doesn't have the same kind of institutions to limit what someone would want to do the way, say, the United States or the UK would. So it's an extremely dangerous moment for this country. Polls do show that he's unlikely to win in the first round on Sunday, but there is a possibility that he might, that he could actually just get 50% of the vote and avoid a runoff entirely. But even if he does make the runoff, the signs are really showing that he's likely to win against Lula's handpicked successor because of how much animus has been built up by the media and the business class toward PT in this country.
Mm. And can you talk more about just exactly what Bolsonaro represents, his homophobic comments, his anti-women comments, his support of the Brazilian military dictatorship?
And, you know, you can go through the whole list of shocking comments. He once said in an interview that he would rather hear that his son died in a car accident than hear that his son is gay. He told a colleague in the lower house of Congress, where he served for 30 years, when she accused him of defending torture and rape, which he did during the dictatorship, that she need not worry because, in his words, she didn't deserve to be raped by him, meaning that she was too ugly to deserve and merit his rape. There's a whole slew of comments like that about black people, about the indigenous. But the much more worrying aspect are not these kind of comments, but the policies that he is explicitly endorsing. His model for how he wants to deal with crime are the world's worst dictators. People like Pinochet, he's advocated that we do things like in the Philippines, where we just send the military and the police to just indiscriminately slaughter whoever they think is a drug dealer or a criminal without trials. He believes in military rule. He doesn't regard the military coup of 1964 and the 21-year resulting military dictatorship as a coup or as a dictatorship. He regards it as something noble and wants to replicate it.